essentially talk about the new report of the Republic of Cuba presented to the Secretary General of the UN with regards to the implementation of economic, commercial, and financial blockade imposed by the United States of America against the Republic of Cuba. However, there have been recent events that makes it advisable for me to explain that the expulsion of two diplomats of the permanent mission of Cuba to the UN and the additional restriction on travel applied by Cuban diplomats and their relatives in New York, announced yesterday by the State Department, have raised a complete rejection on the part of our people, our chancellery, and our government. These are totally unjustified and illegitimate actions based on slanderous allegations against our diplomats, against the Cuban mission to the UN, and against our country. So I repeat, we strongly and categorically reject all of them. These measures were publicly announced through a tweet issued by the State Department before they were officially informed to our mission in New York. These actions are intended to escalate bilateral tensions, provoke the shutdown of the respective embassies, and the severance of diplomatic relations. Those actions have been orchestrated by the anti-Cuban and reactionary clique that once again has gained control of the U.S. policy against Cuba and against Latin America. It is impossible to ignore the fact that these relations or these actions are associated to electoral interests. As should be expected, Cuba will give a timely and an appropriate response to these actions by the government of the United States. We call upon the international community, particularly the diplomatic community based in New York and accredited to the United Nations, and the people of the United States to reject these actions, which are gross violations of the Diplomatic Relations Convention. These are aggressive, politically motivated actions aimed at harming relations with Cuba. This behavior establishes a very dangerous precedent for international law as well as for diplomatic relations at the global scale. The U.S. government is applying specific measures, non-conventional measures, which bring about a qualitative change and increased aggressiveness and a greater extraterritorial character to prevent the fuel shipments to our countries from different markets in South America, Northern Africa, and Europe. These actions include direct threats, the persecution against fuel transportation companies. They have put pressures against flag states and states of registration of those vessels. There have been actions against shipping and insurance companies. This is also an escalation aiming at bringing about dissuasive and intimidating effects intended to create additional difficulties for the Cuban people and damage each and every family, each and every person in our country. There's also a sustained increase of measures hindering foreign trade. There's an increased persecution of our banking and financial relations with other countries. This coincides in time with the activation of the authorization to bring lawsuits before American courts without any jurisdiction whatsoever regarding economic activities associated with Cuba under the Helms-Burton Act, which is fully implemented right now after the inclusion of the activation of Title Number 3. These lawsuits have immediate and direct effects on Cuban entities and entities from third countries and damage trade, finances, and the economic negotiation processes at different levels. The U.S. government is implementing additional extreme restrictions against traveling to Cuba, particularly against traveling by U.S. citizens. The brutal and sudden ban on the arrival of cruise ships to Cuba is one example. Before that, there was a cancellation of general licenses for people-to-people educational travels. The mere existence of licenses is a discrimination act which severs the freedom of travel of American citizens. They also implemented an arbitrary restriction on remittances to be sent by Cubans and Americans to our country, aimed at harming the Cuban families and the natural relations between Cubans residing in the United States and their home country. There's an evident political campaign preceded by actions against Cuba's medical cooperation programs in more than 70 countries by thousands of professionals, particularly in the sphere of health, in the exercise of their free will, who are contributing to improve the health standards in difficult places, favoring the lowest income sectors in many continents. The measures applied by the government of the U.S. as part of a blockade against Cuba include medicines and foodstuffs. I will just give one example. The company MediCuba S.A. placed orders with more than 50 U.S. companies for the purchase of inputs for our health system. No response whatsoever was received from most of these companies. Others refused to trade with Cuba, claiming that the blockade prevented them from doing so. The company Boston Scientific was placed an order to purchase percutaneous aortic valvulus feces, a minimally invasive implant that would no doubt contribute to decrease the mortality rate in Cuba, where, as you know, cardiovascular diseases are the first cause of death. No response has been received from that company as yet. Promega Corporation. We place an order for the purchase of reagents and supplies used for the diagnosis of genetic diseases. The company responded that, and I quote, "The Treasury Department applies commercial sanctions that prohibit industries based in that country from selling products or supply technology and or services to Cuba." There are increasing difficulties faced by our country to buy raw materials destined to the manufacturing of several medicines. The impossibility to acquire them on a systematic basis with the required certainty led to an interruption of the production process, which caused delays in the supply of some of these medicines to the population. Tens of foreign banks have limited or interrupted their financial transactions with our country in recent days. Cuban consular offices and embassies in several countries, including in Europe, have received notifications from their respective banks informing them about the ceasing of the credit card operation services and the prohibition to use Visa and MasterCard credit cards, which is an extraterritorial implementation of American laws. Recently, a senator from Florida said, and I quote, to cut off the supply of oil to the Castro regime would be the most effective action that we can take to put an end to the Venezuelan regime. It is clear that the U.S. should consider the use of naval assets to block the oil supply or the oil shipments between two countries. The U.S. president has raised the idea of imposing a total embargo against Cuba. I agree with him with my full heart. He said, we need to take action now. Cut off supplies to Cuba. This is similar to the content of the infamous memorandum issued by the Undersecretary of State Lester Mallory of 1960, which has been guiding up until today the U.S. policy against Cuba, when it said that the purpose of this policy is, and I quote, to provoke disenchantment and discouragement through economic dissatisfaction and hardships, the reduction of nominal and real salaries with the purpose of provoking hunger, desperation, and the overthrowing of the government. The blockade is a massive, flagrant, and systematic violation of the human rights of all Cubans, of all of our families, of the Cubans residing in the U.S. and in third countries, as well as of the American citizens themselves, according to the Geneva Convention of 1948 against the crime of genocide. This qualifies completely as an act of sustained genocide against the people of Cuba. The accumulated damages as a result of the implementation of the blockade in these 60 years, taking into account the devaluation of U.S. dollars against the price of gold at the international market, amount to $922.630 billion. At current prices, it accounts for more than $138,843,400,000. The blockade is a violation of the sovereignty of the states and international law, as well as of the international humanitarian law. Some of its aspects are even a violation against the international legislation governing in situations of armed conflict. They have invoked the Trade with the Enemy Act of 1917 as the basic rule of the blockade that has been so far applied against Cuba, as well as other regulations under the Helms-Burton Act. It is a gross violation of international trading regulations and freedom of navigation. The figures I have mentioned do not cover the impact of the measures announced in recent months, out of methodological reasons and the rigor in the registration of these damages will be accounted for the next period. As we said, with the revenues that Cuba has failed to receive from the export of goods and the costs associated to the geographical reorientation of trade, which forces our country to keep huge amounts of stocks, Cuba's GDP would have grown at current prices during the last decade by around 10% as an average annual rate. Only a well-organized country with a united and fraternal people can cope without further damages with such vicious aggression. Cuba counts on the overwhelming support of the international community. Last year, it voted almost unanimously by 189 votes in favor against the implementation of the blockade. It is possible to account for economic damages, but this is impossible in the case of humanitarian damages. The data I have presented here show that the blockade continues to be the main cause of the difficulties facing our economy, of the scarcities and hardships suffered by our people, and the main obstacle to our development. Those who may compare the blockade with other aspects, those who attribute the problems of the Cuban economy, particularly those which are being faced in these months, with the incompetence of our government or the inefficiency of socialism, in the long run, will end up by adopting a naive position, a position of ignorance or complicity with the U.S. government in its genocidal, obsolete, illegal, and cruel policy. So, next November 6 and 7 this year, the UN General Assembly will consider once again the draft resolution entitled Necessity of Ending the Economic, Commercial, and Financial Blockade Imposed by the United States of America against Cuba. We are sure that the mobilization of the American people itself, of the international community, and particularly the conscious mobilization of our people will make justice and truth prevail, and most certainly will make it impossible for the U.S. government to continue to implement the policy that not only is bringing about an enormous discredit for them, but also an extraordinary isolation. Governments are ephemeral, political junctures also are, particularly electoral junctions in Florida and the United States. But peoples, including the U.S. people, have a huge memory, and history will make a severe judgment of all the responsible.